What's up, everybody? It's Rusty from the PETM Podcast. Well, this week the old travel bug has hit me and Sherwin pretty hard. I'm doing this little recording from Jerusalem, Israel on business trips. A good 7,000 miles from the old US of A there, so Sherwin is doing his little travel deal too. I don't even know where he's at, but we're not going to be able to bring you a new episode this week, so we figured we'd do a little throwback episode, Darlington style, for you. We're going to bring you the episode from, I believe, NASCAR Chasm a couple months ago. Had a lot of laughs, had a lot of fun. Hope you all enjoy it. And we're going to be back in the saddle next week talking about Daytona, talking about Sonoma, everything that's going on. Chase Elliott re-signed through 2022, so lots to talk about. We'll look forward to talking to y'all then. And until then, please enjoy this one.
Hey, welcome y'all! Hey! That's right. This is the Pre-Game Engineer Tailgate Mayor Racing Podcast, episode number 76, Thursday, December 15, 2016. I'm Tailgate Mayor Rusty Wallace with Pre-Game Engineer Andrew Sherwin in the PETM Podcast Studio. What's up today, buddy?
Hey, you know what makes driving 5 hours back from North Carolina for work better?
What's that?
When you look on your doorstep and there is a Christmas gift from your employer of Omaha Steaks.
Oh, man.
Yes, sir.
Oh, man.
I'm excited.
Well, you brought that one, right? Like, I don't know. I'm kind of...
Yeah, I just threw the trump card at you.
Right? No kidding. No kidding. That's awesome. Well, man, how excited are we for tonight's guest?
Too excited.
Too excited. Probably. You know, I've heard people say this before, that I know that most of y'all listening at home, maybe on your ride, maybe you listen on the podcast, on the iTunes or whatever it is. Y'all are probably all sitting down in your seats right now. I guarantee you're only going to need the edge of them. Because tonight's guest needs no intro. And that's all I had. NASCAR Chasm, that was your cue, dude.
Oh, sorry about that. Yeah, I'm not. I was still laughing at you. Won't need the. You'll only need the edge of your seat.
It's all good, y'all. We got. That was just me playing around. We got NASCAR Chasm on the show tonight. What's up, man?
Do you charge by the embellishment? Like, how does this work? I mean, you won't. They won't need the chair because they'll have walked away by the time I actually start talking.
Oh yeah, by the time we're done promoing you, dude, they're going to be without a house or clothes or anything, just standing on a white sheet of paper.
Oh, you bet, man. I drive them away.
Well, I didn't have any intro for you, because what exactly is your title? I think Lewis Black said it. How you money make?
I don't actually know what the title is. There's a reason why I don't have a business card, is because I don't know what I'd put on it. I don't know if trolling is a profession or overrated Twitter personality. I'm not exactly sure what it is right now, but we'll worry about that later. You know, what's in a title anyways?
Right. I like troll. That's kind of fun.
There's not so much need for a title, but I think function is wizard. So you can assign yourself a title, but whatever underneath it is like wizard of that.
I like that.
Really? So like what House of Hogwarts are we talking?
You're going to be beyond us on that.
Unfortunately,
one.
That is wizard is as far as I go into the realm of wizardry.
Oh, I see. Well, this is like the first motorsports related podcast I've ever been on where people don't know about the wonderful world of Harry Potter.
Oh, wow.
Well, you probably wouldn't be the only one to ridicule us for that. I'm like a Disney Merlin the Magician kind of wizard type.
Oh, yeah. Fantasia like, and stuff, huh?
Cartoons and a little owl that talks crap all the time.
Wow. I see myself as Shazam. Remember
okay.
Shazam that works. Shaq?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's me.
I love it.
7'3", 380 pounds.
I didn't realize that there was such a crossover. Between
you have no idea. Yeah, powder. I mean that's a untapped audience. We're not really reaching that well. We need to reach the wizarding world a little bit better.
So the Hogwarts,
I think Weaver
300?
Would be all up in some of that,
probably.
Considering what he named his cat, and we're trying to also create this Venn diagram of the WWE crowd that Kelly and Weaver both love, and then I'm a huge soccer fan. I know we've got a couple of guys out there in the peripheral that also likes soccer, so
right.
Who knows what this
we
thing becomes
next year. We
got to
draw the Harry Potter part of that one, too.
Yeah, it's like, it's brown wow. And in the middle.
right.
You know, we're all racing fans, but we all have our own little nerdy loyalties to this or that, you know, so we all, like I said, we all meet in the middle, but Separately, we're all nerds in our own little way. So
we've met with NASCAR Chasm several times at the tweet ups, whether he remembers us or not. But
I do. Last one would have been Bristol, correct?
Bristol, you got it.
Yeah, hiding from the rain.
Yeah, yeah, we were all running around like crazy. And when I'm looking for you at the tweet ups, I'm always looking for like an angry Jamie McMurray, because I think that's your Twitter
avatar
right now. So, like, where's,
you know, oh, it's too perfect. It's just like this Jamie in a rare moment of rage. I was like, this is the one. This is it. This is something people can identify with.
That's been like one of the longest running ones too, hasn't it?
Yeah, you know, I used to. Good Lord, when I started this thing out. For some reason, I thought it'd be the hip, cool thing to take a, like, Hipsomatic. Do you remember Hipsomatic at all?
I remember that. Yeah, yeah. That was like, you know, a week of popularity, right?
Yeah, it really was. And it was like the precursor to Instagram with the grunge filters and all that kind of stuff. And so I was like, ooh, we'll take a cool, mysterious picture of my back looking at the track and stuff. And now looking back on it, I'm just like, those are just stupid. Just, you know. Those are silly. Well, you're not impressive. You're not Deep Throat from Watergate. You're just a dumbass from Twitter. So, and, you know, go from there. And it's by far my favorite, by the way. So
I assumed you photoshopped it, because I don't think I've ever seen Jamie McMurray that pissed.
Yeah, I know. He's a pleasant, docile little man. And I figured, yeah, like I said, this one just kind of resonates. This is a Jamie in a rare moment of pensive anger. So let's run with it.
Love it.
It coincides well with my devout love for Mr. McMurray.
Well, the one thing we always do on every podcast with our guests and even when we're by ourselves is the What You Drinking segment. So, Mr. NASCAR Chasm, what you drinking today?
What am I drinking today? Boy, I'm going to lame myself out right now. I'm drinking a glass of water out of the refrigerator. Hate to be lame. This past week, can we refer past to this? I'm sorry. Can we go back to it? This weekend, we had our cheesy Christmas party with friends and everything. That would be much more fun. That was heavy doses of Miller Lite and Wassail.
Mm. Oh, Wassail.
Interesting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Traditional.
Yeah. I make a mean Wassail. No one knows that.
Well, so here's going to be the surprise for you, NASCAR Chasm. The lameness isn't due to the beverage choice. It's that you fall in this single standard deviation bell curve of most of our guests. Our guests are water drinkers. I don't understand
as it.
It
turns out.
So you aren't. You guys have never. You guys should try water.
No.
Well,
no.
I mean, this beer-flavored water is working out pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. I
yeah,
like it.
It is. It's like beer without like the hops and barley and you don't, you know, do things you regret. So.
Well, sounds terrible.
I know. Really does.
What is it? That's what my food drinks.
Yeah.
So truth be told, do you remember the giant Miller Lite beer glass that Keselowski had?
I will never forget it.
I was given one of those as a gift by someone, and I put actually a mark on it, kind of sort of near the bottom of the glass that says, when you reach this point, you are not allowed to tweet anymore. Just to make sure that I don't, you know, oh, but this is good. This is funny stuff. You know, so yeah, you got to have the safety measures installed in place.
So how many, that's a good visual management tool, by the way. That's something an engineer like me would appreciate. How many 12-ounce beers does that glass hold?
All of them.
I think it's 3 liters. I don't
so
know
all
how
of them is,
that
answer,
necessarily
yeah.
is, but
in short,
yeah, it's enough that if you drink that at the restaurant, if that's the first thing you order, you won't care when the entree shows up.
Yeah, it's like 10 beers if it's 3 liters.
That's
getting after it.
Yeah, yeah, you got to break the seal for them.
Did you Google that? Did you Google metrics, measurements, so on?
Oh, that's Sherman's job.
I deal in metric for work. So sorry.
Oh, I see. Well, then why'd you ask me that? Come on, seriously.
Right.
Well, I mean,
ask the egghead.
You have one. I don't possess this particular vessel worthy of 3 liters of beer.
Chalice sent from God himself.
I mean, it's really perfect for when you're thirsty and you're like, but I just want more than 2.5 liters of something. It happens all the time. You're like, well, I'm a little thirsty. Let's fill up this giant depth charge.
right?
Full of something. You know, it's definitely an occasion kind of vessel, receptacle, call it what you will.
Well, so. On Periscope, old Jeffrey Whitler just told us, you know, it's warm by the end of it. And I would just say to you, Jeffrey, you just ain't drinking it fast enough.
You ain't man enough if it's warm at the end.
If it's right? warm, that's his problem. That's not mine. That's not mine.
Sherman, so. What you drinking on today?
Yeah, that's an operator problem. What I have here in the bottle here is as I promised, went to North Carolina. I brought home some North Carolina beer. So this is a Foothill Brewery Hopium IPA out of Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
Excellent. That's, wow. That one you can find in the stores around here, but you
they
brought
have
some
good
other
distribution.
Ones.
I think they have a relationship with ABN Bev, which helps a lot, kind of like Goose Island out of Chicago. Pretty much find it everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have a surprise what you're drinking for you.
It's a gigantic bottle of
Guinness Extra Stout is what I that's one of the things I'm drinking. But this one's underneath the table here. Every once in a while I surprise Sherman with something. With something a little different. And today, this is the first time I'll ever have one. Got two of them. There it is.
Oh, my goodness.
A Monster Energy drink.
Monster Energy. Nice. Ripping this thing open right
yeah.
now.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Time to take
what flavor? Is it the original? Is it the blue?
It should be original. They're doing
it's
this promo
with a black guy with like a flaming, spiky marshmallow torch thing.
Well, they're doing some promo with Battlefield 1, so that's what it's what all it branded. Is. But this is the original. Here we go.
Gulp, gulp.
Mmm, that sure is good.
Tastes like a Red Bull.
Woo! Y'all go out and buy one, I guess.
Goodness.
Jesus.
Do you do this? Do you do this every episode, or is this because you're just struggling to stay awake because I'm here?
No. This is first time any caffeine has been ingested that didn't already have liquor in it.
That's true. Gotcha. We usually like downers, not uppers.
Yeah.
Understood. Boy, I was out in Vegas for the banquet, and that announcement came out, and it was just the perfect timing because you're in Vegas for 3 days. You desperately need energy drinks to make it through. And it was like, boy, they could not have timed this better. That was tremendous. So, yeah. And by the way, I'm apparently talking too loud because my wife just sent me a text message that says 3 liters equals 8.45 beers.
Nice.
Close enough.
Yeah. Good on her. Me. Well done.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. So.
Yeah, so those 9 a.m. press conferences didn't do it for you in
Vegas?
Hey,
I'll take a B+ on my guess.
I'll give it to you. Are we handing out grades here?
Within the margin of error.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I was not at the, I was not actually at the press conference, but when it came out, you know, Monster is basically, I don't like coffee. I don't know about you guys. Do you like coffee?
On occasion. I had one this morning for the first time in 2 months, probably.
I stopped drinking 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, I do not like coffee. Never have. And Monster, it's basically been my coffee for years, so I'm like all for this, and I'm scheduling trips to the office in Charlotte just so I can raid the big cooler in the break room. I'm just going to be shoving it in my backpack and leaving.
Right? So, we've got,
well, that constitutes doing work. That's promo.
Right. Kind of. Yeah, write that one off.
You call it what you will, but I'm bought and sold pretty cheap, you know.
Well, I hear you on that. So we've got, look at the list of folks that Monster Energy's got. We got Gronk, we got Tiger Woods, Kurt Busch, Supercross. I mean, that's a great group of folks and crossing a lot of different disciplines to be in. So what are your thoughts on it other than, staying awake in Vegas?
Oh, I love it. Yeah, for all the reasons that you just rattled off right there. I mean, they've already been in the sport to a degree. And again, from a personal standpoint, I've been buying and using this stuff for years now. And so for a title sponsor to come in that is, not only, more geared towards the younger demographics and so on, but it's also something that I've already been using regularly. Like I said, I'm 100% for it. And again, as soon as I go to the Charlotte office there, I'm going to walk in and they're going to be like, "Hey, Dave, do you have anything in that backpack?" And I'll be like, "No." And then, I'll swing by the little cooler they have in the break room, stuff it full of free product, and then walk out. And they'll be like, "Was that the only reason you came to Charlotte?" And I'll be like, "Yep."
So you lost the, I don't know if we call it the bet, but you've already said your own name, and our challenge was was clearly set.
Did I call myself Dave?
You did.
Oh, well, you know, it's okay. I've done actually a little bit of research in order to maintain the anonymity. Turns out there's more than one Dave in the United States.
Well, so, as it turns out.
Yeah.
Well, but there's only one NASCAR chasm, so.
Well, thank God for that.
Let's see. PTM 76. It's our 76th episode. Every episode, we like to talk about the car number associated with that one. Don't ask me what we're going to do in 25 episodes when we get to 100 or so, because I don't know yet. But
well, we get to roll through like the first 40 because we didn't start doing it till 41, I think.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. And so, then maybe we'll go like super.
Was Biffle on episode 69 or no?
No, unfortunately, he was already.
So at 169, we will have an opportunity to come back and do car
we'll
number.
Right back around. Right back around.
Like a cross promotion. I mean, yeah.
Did you make that animated GIF with the 6-9 that turns into G and B and all that?
You bet I did. I'm a firm believer in numerology. I really am. And I think, you know, it's not just for the, you know, I guess, Urban Dictionary nature of the number. But like I said, more so that it's in the name. It's kind of in this, you know, Da Vinci Code kind of sort of mystique around it. I think the number found Greg.
I love it.
Good for him.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I hope to God that every other driver understands the precedent that he's setting. Once you reach your midlife crisis, you have to live tweet the hell out of it like he's doing.
Love it.
Well, and go off a sand dune 20 feet in the air sideways on a motorbike.
Yeah, right? On Periscope, wherever he did that?
Yep, absolutely.
So, 76 car is another winless car. We've had like I think the 70s.
Shut up! But this is every week. Now
the 70s are a curse. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but ain't nobody wanting a 70 something car until we get like the 78.
That's like an O lineman number, so you kind of understand.
Yeah, good point. But we can talk about Ben Arnold. 126 out of his 132 races in the number 76 car from 1986 till 1973. He's part of the Alabama gang, so he ran with with all the Allisons.
The
and all
Allisons.
Them. Yep. I posted on Twitter just prior to this a beautiful fastback Ford that he drove that we haven't seen a fastback on any of the car number things that we've done yet, so that was pretty cool.
Was it a Gran Torino?
I'm not 100% sure, but
if
I'm going
to go
with yes.
If it was a Ford, it was probably a Gran Torino.
Yeah. He was an independent driver, had a top 10 season in 1972, and he holds the track record to this day at Talladega for qualifying backwards at 178 miles an hour. Turns
what?
Out...
I mean, he ran it in opposite clockwise, or he ran it in reverse?
Well, so it kind of has that asterisk next to it. It's fun to say that he qualified backwards. He lost control in the last turn. He spun around, and he said, heck with it, and he came across the finish line in reverse.
Ah, I got you.
So that all worked out.
Hell of a transmission he must have had to be able to shift into reverse.
Just heck with it. Yeah. Why not? Passed away in March 2011, so we'll raise our glass here to old Ben Arnold.
Benny.
Yes, sir. And trying to find stuff on him is difficult because Arnold, as it turns out, and recent death is a...
oh, boy.
Difficult thing to find. Anyway.
Boy.
We might as well go. If we're going, we already went that deep, we might as well stay there for a minute and give another shout out to Mr. Craig Sager.
Craig Sager
passed this afternoon at 4 o'clock.
Oh, man. I didn't even see that.
Lost his bout with leukemia. Hell of a NBA man and man without the qualifier of the NBA.
Yep. So. Well, I'm just going to have to digest that.
2016 has sucked.
Right?
It really has. It'll be, you know, when that ball drops at Times Square, it will not be, I don't think it'll be so much a celebration of the new year coming in so much as it marks the end of this crappy year.
Right?
It's finally over.
Yeah,
you
what
know,
is
moving
it?
Moving forward. But, Craig Sager, in the, if we live in an era right now, I think, where for some odd reason, TV commentators, announcers, play-by-play people, they are uber scrutinized and become objects of derision. I think probably more so than they need to be. You know, you can find people complaining about Al Michaels or people complaining about John Gruden or whatever. But if you notice, that was never the case with Craig Sager. Just everybody loved Craig Sager.
Truth. Hashtag you know? Truth.
Yeah.
And so it's just a sad thing, but I mean, if you look at the outpouring of love the guys received on social media, you know, I get he did something right for 65 years.
It's hard to find that in any sport. I mean, who?
Yeah.
I was able to, because I got an app for the local radio guys that I listen to, 680 The Fan here in Atlanta. I was listening basically all the way home from 3 to 7. And they did. They played his speech at the ESPYs. And yeah. They tried their best to get Shaq, but Shaq was tied up, even though he works on the same hall they do. But Shaq has certainly spent a lot of time with Craig. But they had a lot of really nice things to say about him. And the speech, obviously, whew, a real doozy considering the year before. Was it just the year before we had Stuart Scott? And he also died in December after that. Oh. Like, golly, that's like bang, bang, 2 years in a row kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's sad, but they I guess what you got to do, you know, it all started with Jimmy Valvano's speech years back. And then there's just been several cases of big inspirational words coming from these people who are fighting a struggle that's beyond what any of us are currently. So it's they're just kind of words to live by, I guess.
Absolutely. And Jimmy V, the foundation, is one, if you go on to and research and everything, it's like the number one cancer. Like, if you donate money to them, it's like all of it goes to cancer research because of the endowment that they already have.
Yep.
So, really cool, more than any other cancer charity or anything. So that's pretty cool.
Well, yeah, and if there's nothing better to live by than, like, Jimmy Valvano's three things he said in his speech, right? And I think about this every day myself, is you got to think, you got to have your emotions move to tears. So be in pensive thought, have your emotions move to tears, and you got to laugh.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And, like, if you do that, that's a full day.
Yep.
Yep.
Well, let's keep laughing. NASCAR chasm.
I can't help you there.
We've
fail. Yeah, you can.
Fail. let's see here. We'll go through a few questions. I think maybe some of these are funny. What's the maddest you ever made a driver?
The maddest I ever made a driver, that would be really early on in the, I guess, call what you will, tenure of this silly Twitter account. It was a big learning experience, actually. It was...
We've had a couple of those on Twitter.
Yeah, but it had to do... Do you remember years back when there was an incident with Jeremy Mayfield, the stolen sheet metal and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That wasn't only stolen sheet metal. But,
I understand. I understand. But it was... The news came out, and so, of course, I get on Twitter, and I put on something like, well, that... gives new definition to qualifying on speed.
Hey-o! Now, come on. Come on.
Now, but here's the deal. And it wasn't actually Jeremy per se. It was his wife, Shanna, that kind of got online and saw it and sent me a nasty gram about that particular comment. And when I thought about it, I was like, you know, she was right. This comment was actually pretty stupid to make. And so, you know, from that point forward, you kind of realized – there's a line you don't want to cross. If you can try to be funny, but try not to be mean also. In that instance, I was mean, and I regretted it to this day, you know? And so, I guess that would kind of count right there. Again, learning experience, if it were.
Well, sure. You got me going there.
Oh, God. I was like, shoot, he laughed at it. Darn it. Yeah, but... right. Yeah, but anyways, still, you know, regardless, that's, like I said, just a lesson wrapped up in a tweet that you still laughed at. So, bad Sherwin.
Well, I'm the one that usually misbehaves on Twitter, so.
Oh, it's all good.
I've been trying to correct that problem.
Yep.
Have you ever been called in the principal's office?
Have I ever been called in the principal's office? Surprisingly, no. And it's for that, I think... because of what we took away from that very instance, that was very, very early on in the infancy of the whole Twitter account. And it was, again, I was sitting there nervous, kind of freaked out at what I had done. You know, like I said, you're trying to make people laugh. You're not trying to make them mad or be malicious or anything like that. And we've tried to maintain that sort of mentality throughout. And yes, shockingly, I mean, even in, working with NASCAR.com for the past couple of years, it has not happened. I mean, that may be because I have very good editors who take out stuff that could get me in trouble. I don't really know, but no, we have not. I've not received the Tony Stewart call to the hauler yet.
It's branded now, huh?
Would they be afraid?
Yeah, I guess so. I think, you know, I mean, They should have put a plaque on that thing for his retirement. You know, some people get ponies, whatever. Call it the Tony Stewart hauler.
I like
and just, you know, maybe put a fat head of him on the door as you're walking in. Tony giving a thumbs up, like, hey, have fun in there. Something that can that really encapsulates the legacy of Smoke.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Maybe they have, like, two different rooms they call you to. One is we're not at all afraid you're going to hit somebody in the face, and then there's, like, the Tony Stewart room.
Oh, I like it.
Where, like, somebody's probably getting hit in the face.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a plexiglass divider where the two parties at issue stand on either side. I
was thinking Hannibal Lecter style, yeah. Just
Half inch of plexi with some holes cut in there.
You can breathe onto them a little bit or something.
Exactly. Set up a little chair, yeah.
So what was that call like, or how did the whole NASCAR.com thing come around? Did they just kind of call you and be like, hey, we want to do this, and how much did you pee yourself?
Good Lord. There's certain things I don't want to disclose, and that's one of them. All right. Well. That's off limits. Don't ever, how much I urinate. Just never do it. It's a touchy subject. It basically what happened, so it was about a couple of years ago at the Brickyard. The gentleman who works at NASCAR Digital Media, who would wind up being my boss, got a hold of me. And I went down and talked to him over at the media center. We broached the topic about doing stuff for .com. And about a few months later, it happened. There was no real grand, like, I expected this to happen. I was very pleasantly surprised and still surprised to this day. But that was basically it. It's just a phone call and, hey, we'd like to have you on board. And it's been a tremendous amount of fun since.
Well, I can't imagine. And so, of course, I go to NASCAR.com every day or so just to check up, see if there's any new news that I hadn't caught up on, something I can write down for the podcast. And, like, half the time, top story, here it is right here. NASCAR Chasm's casting call for drivers. That's, like, number three, but it's on the front page. If you hit news, I thought this one was funny. If you hover over the thing that says news, there's, like, top news, photo galleries, inside groove, power rankings, and then NASCAR Chasm. How do you like being under the news section of the .com?
I'm working my way up that drop down, pal. I'm working my way up. I'm going to take over the world and get above paint scheme sometime soon. No, it's.
Should we be scared if you know, you hover over news and the first thing it says is NASCAR Chasm?
Oh, be very afraid. Be very
okay.
afraid.
Making sure.
Hide in your doomsday shelter if that happens. Yeah, but I didn't actually realize until about a year ago that there was my own tab there. And so that was a very, very pleasant surprise. It really was.
Well, that's really cool. Off-season woes. What are you doing right now to pass the time?
What am I doing right now to pass the time? We're relaxing. Like I said, you know, when you're a fan, you are sad, depressed in the off-season. But, you know, now when you work in it, there's kind of a welcome little break. And what we're doing, we're still working, and we're working ahead on a lot of things because I'll be on vacation sometime in January, so I want to front load them with enough material that they can post it while I'm gone. And then, yeah, good Lord. Other than that, the other reason the offseason sucks, right, is because I grew up in Northwest Indiana, so we're a Bears fan. So sure as hell ain't watching football. We're not doing that. There's no point. It's a lot of relaxing. It's really, really lame. It's a lot of relaxing.
So I think it was a couple years ago, maybe it was, that you did, the NASCAR Chasm 500 in the laundry machine? Any return of that one coming?
You know, we might actually.
With the technology.
I have to decide.
With the technology
the
we got.
It's a little bit old, and we might be replacing it sometime soon. So it might be ample opportunity to throw the old little Matchbox cars in there and see what we can do. Although I'm not sure if you followed, but. In Easter, okay, my wife just texted me and said, no cars in the dryer. Okay, fun police. You having fun out there? All right. I got to talk quieter now. I'm not sure if you follow, but on Easter, we out of boredom, we have another fun little thing we do. I'm not sure you saw the peep chase.
Oh, yes.
But, yeah, we take the 16 drivers that were in the chase the previous year. And we buy a bunch of marshmallow peeps. We put them on a plate, and I write the car number on each peep. whoever explodes last is the winner. We put them in the microwave. We run it. Whoever explodes last is the Peep Chase champion. Last year with Carl Edwards. He hopes to repeat this year.
That was close.
It really was.
The octopus that picks the March Madness stuff?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the peeps don't lie.
Yeah, and it was, boy, tell you what. Carl was close. Carl was really close. He fared better in my microwave than he did at Homestead.
True.
Yeah. So, I don't know how loud I should be talking about putting marshmallows in the microwave because I'm just waiting for the text from my wife now.
I was going to say, so that was kosher, but the cars in the dryer, not so much, I guess.
I cleaned it up, honey. I cleaned it all up. All right. Shout out to Formula 409. All right.
I bet you could beat like Game of Thrones or something in viewership with like YouTube Live now and Periscope and Facebook Live and all that. I think that'd be a hit show.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Boy, I mean, what app can you not go live on now? That's what's kind of sort of it's snowballed into. You can go live on all these apps, and you got an Instagram Live story, and you can do it on Slack and all this stuff. It's getting a little bit overwhelming at this point.
Well, I think they saw what Periscope did and just sort of hooked. So
let's do what they're doing.
Any fun Christmas traditions now that we're in the season in the Chasm household?
Christmas traditions. You know, we have the annual cheesy, horrible Christmas party, which we had that last Saturday, in fact, and it was a lot of fun. We have our friends over, and everyone dresses up in a really, really tacky manner. We do a alcohol gift exchange, and I received pecan-flavored gin.
Pecan gin.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. We also had – this was in this gift exchange we did, one of the gifts that was also given was this vodka bottle that had like this message board on it. And, you know, like a scrolling electric message reader thing, call it what you will. And whenever it got exchanged, it would say, enjoy your gift, and the name would change to whoever was holding it. It was surreal. It was a surreal moment. Really,
what the hell?
Well, I had a belt buckle that did that. You remember that, Sherwin?
Yes.
A scrolling
LED. But you had to pre-program it, didn't you?
Yeah, I had to pre-program it. But
it was similar. It was similar to that. But then
Didn't your boobies show up on the thing?
You know what?
Sorry.
We were at a NASCAR race, and I had that belt buckle on, and it scrolled across. And I'm telling you, I turned it on, and I encouraged females to, do a little show for me. And within, 5 minutes?
It was less than that.
Somebody lifted their shirt in front of us.
It was like it had radar.
Are you serious? This works? Is this? I've been doing it wrong for years. Like, wow. I was married. Apparently, I've been... I don't know. Or maybe that would be the wrong kind.
But then, yeah, it's standard seeing family. We open gifts here, and then Christmas night, we have a tradition where we go over to my cousin's house. They live in the same town. After all the family obligations are done and things are winding down, and we go over there and crack open bottles and bottles and bottles. It's a lot of fun. We call it Christmas cheer every year. It's kind of the celebration of Christmas being done for another year, and so let's get weird.
So did you use Uber or Lyft?
Using the Uber.
Or the classic pass out at the friend's house.
Or just stay there.
Yeah, yeah. Couch or floor.
Been there a couple of years too, but we already have the the commemorative 2016 bottle of Cubs champagne ready. Cubs World Series champion champagne.
Oh, very nice.
We're gonna open that because we're all big Cubs fans. It's gonna be very, very exciting. I'll Periscope live from that. How about that?
Sounds good.
Yeah, sounds real good. So since we're talking about Christmas, I thought this would be a fun time to talk about NASCAR members in Christmas movies. I saw some of this on Twitter and thought it'd be fun to go through with you. So we've got a few Christmas movies here, and we've got a few characters from those, thinking who in NASCAR would be the perfect person for each of those. So first one is A Christmas Story, and we're talking about the dad. Not Ralphie, but we're going to talk about the dad. Who could be the dad? A little irreverent, little crazy leg lamp, that sort of stuff. Who you got, NASCAR Chasm?
Boy, man, you're putting me on the spot.
Well,
here,
I can make Sherman go first. Never seen it.
Yeah. I'm
not even joking.
The Dad in a Christmas Story. I wish my mind was working a lot faster. I'm thinking it's got to be a crew chief, because a crew chief is the one who would get the 200-mile-an-hour tape, the bear bond, whatever, and put that thing back together and send it back out, that leg lamp. So I would put Chad Knaus there.
I like that.
Because he's the problem solver. He sees that the leg lamp is wrecked, and he just works his magic and gets it out there.
I went with some ingenuity myself, but also what trumped it for me was kind of level guy and then just has these moments of short temper, short fuses stuff. So I went with Kurt Busch on that one.
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, you know what? Matt Kenseth would be good, too.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah. Although, actually, in the movie, the dad is a Bears fan, and they're playing the Packers. And so Matt would have to switch that around.
True. Yeah. Definitely cheesehead on that guy.
Absolutely.
Second Christmas movie, and if you don't call it a Christmas movie, you're wrong. Die Hard.
The best Christmas movie.
Absolutely a Christmas movie. Which character are we talking? McClane?
Obviously John McClane. Sherwin, you want to go first?
Oh, man. You know what? Let's throw accents out the window in terms of like shape, badassness, and general hair configuration. I'm going to go Marcus Ambrose.
Hair configuration. That is perfect. You're exactly right. I went just with general, don't give a fill in the word. Tony Stewart for that. Now, minus a few
he
pounds.
He could definitely come up with YPKAMFer on his own.
This guy's going to crawl through an AC vent, so that automatically disqualified Tony Stewart.
True. All Tony might be sitting outside the crawl space just saying, drinking a beer, saying, let him die.
Photoshop on body shape is okay.
Yeah.
As long as the personality fits the character, I think that's fair.
I like it.
I'm just envisioning a two-hour movie of Tony Stewart stuck in an HVAC vent. That's all I'm doing.
I'd watch it.
Please get me out, Snape, or whoever that guy's name is.
Snape. man.
Boy, I don't really know. I would say, in this particular instance, I'm just going to say Austin Dillon.
Okay.
Austin Dillon is John McClane, just because I think he always has a gun on him.
Always has a gun.
He's always packing. I think he's always ready.
He's definitely got the hat. I guess he might have to take off the hat every once in a while, but he's got yippee-ki-yay with that, you know?
Yeah, so that too, yeah. Exactly.
I'm digging it. All right, next movie. I think we're all going to pretty much zero in on the same person here. Christmas Vacation, and we're talking about Cousin Eddie.
Well,
We're all thinking Boyer right now. All of us are.
Yes, yep. That was signed, sealed, and delivered.
I think that role was made for him, huh?
Well, I think he might have turned it down, and they wanted someone a little less crazy, so they got Randy Quaid.
Right? Yeah. Well, I think Chris Boyer was probably originally offered the part.
Oh boy, is there anybody better than Clint Boyer? I have trouble finding someone who is. I just think if we need to register Clint as a national treasure as soon as possible because he is one.
Well, yeah, anybody that can basically. Quote you the script of Smokey and the Bandit, but can't do 2 times 3 equals 6. That's the person you want to hang around. I promise you.
Oh, no kidding.
Absolutely.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
We've said it before, and I think Dale Jr. made one of the best jokes I've seen when he said, when hell parties, they raise Clint Boyer.
That's a good one. That's why I yearn so much for him to win at Kansas Speedway one of these days, because you know he will. He will skip the traditional post-race press conference and photos, whatever. He will have the entire grandstand over to his house for, like, beer pong, and he'll get out his backhoe. He will dig a hole in the ground and fill it with water. He'll probably have an AC/DC cover band there. It will be so Clint.
I know. He might have AC/DC there, you know.
Well, somebody from NASCAR PR should be on that and have somebody – from the Guinness Book of World Records, figure out, you know, how many people constitutes the largest group shotgun that's ever done. Because he'd have the whole grandstands ripping open a beer.
Dang right, man.
All right, last movie. Here we go. We're going crazy different.
The second best Christmas movie ever made.
Gremlins. And we're going with Gizmo.
Gizmo.
Who's playing Gizmo? Goodness. I'll go first on this one.
All right.
I'm going with both height, and I think that Jeff Gordon, I think if he squinched up his face, like, he could kind of make, you know, that Gizmo gremlin face if he really tried. So
that Mogwai puzzled, disappointed look.
Yeah, something like that. So yeah. It's only based on that. I'm not trying to lose fans here, but I think the...
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
It's got to be Logano. Is there anybody that hates bright light more than Joey Logano?
Well, that is not funny. Squinty Douchey, as they call him.
Boy, oh boy.
So I'm going to go a little bit off script, not competitor, but related. I'm going to go with Danielle Trotta. I think she's got the facial structure of the Gizmo. And the squinty eyes.
You're going to get us some hate mail.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's all right.
Don't worry. Duck out right here.
Yeah, she just got engaged, so I'm probably going to get visited at my front door.
By a dude with a billy club.
All right. That went sideways.
Here we go. Silly season. It is, and we talked about it. Not a whole lot of silliness going on right now. You know, NASCAR Chasm, you had a great idea for announcing Dale Jr. back in the car in the pre-show. Why don't you tell the folks about that one?
Oh, yeah. Instead of, you know, the big release, the press conference of, hey, everybody, Dale Jr. has been medically cleared to return to competition at the 2017 Daytona 500, you just keep it under wraps. You make people wonder. And then during intros, someone else qualifies the car. Then when you think Alex Bowman or whoever's coming out, that's when the glass breaks. The Stone Cold Steve Austin glass breaks. Comes Dale Jr. running down the driver intro stage they have there. It would be pandemonium.
Oh, man. If he, like, crushed what if he, like, Monster Energy drink.
And... Terry Tate, office linebackered Alex Gordon into, like, a foam pit. And then, like, rose from the pit with a Monster Energy drink.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He could drop stunners on the entire field.
Oh, man.
I understand the need for the press conferences and all that. But still, again, this is why NASCAR doesn't make me allow me to make the good decisions.
Well, see, you're thinking about the crossover with the WWE crowd here, which, you know, there's a large intersection of that Venn diagram. So,
yeah, that is true. Yeah,
especially in the Charlotte area.
I think it's genius.
It seemed like everybody was at that WWE Raw a couple weekends ago. Like, you had Blaney there and Bubba there. It seemed like everybody was at WWE Raw.
Yeah, well, the two coolest kids, Blaney and Bubba, were definitely, like, front row getting... I think they got whacked in the face by, like, an in-process movement by one of the right. One of the matches.
We just got some news today. Mr. DiBurrito, Matt DiBenedetto, joins the Go Fast Racing. Well, we knew he was out of BK, but number 32 car for the 2017 season, Sherwin.
Have they decided whether they're running Nissans or Volkswagens this year?
Seven.
Question. That's harsh.
Sorry.
Chasm, what do you think?
I wasn't going to apologize.
About Matt DiBenedetto going to Go Fast?
Yeah.
I've friends on that team. I like that Go Fast is probably going to have a full-time entry. And, you know, it seems like there's only so much you can prove in BK Racing equipment. It really does. And so he might have reached that limit. Plus, I mean, maybe he enjoys getting paid. So it's good for him to actually go to a team that maybe does that. So,
well, paycheck will help catalyze that.
Well, yeah, BK's still running with 2012 chassis. So.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Sherwin, you talked about the waiting for a good ride issue with Landon Castle.
Yeah, so here's another. I mean, we're always supportive of other podcasts that we think, you know, our listeners might be interested in. One of the local guys that races sports cars for Audi, Ryan Eversley, does a podcast with a friend of his named Sean, not Hendrick. Sean something.
It's Heckman, and I know this because the episode I did with them drops tomorrow.
Oh, sweet.
Awesome! Yeah. So I hope I didn't yell too loud there. But so the episodes that I've listened to are Landon Castle's, which is really funny. They did it in a pizza joint. Landon is really, really funny.
Well, the name of it, real quick, it was Dinner with Racers, right?
That's the name of the podcast.
Yep.
And it's on iTunes, just like we are. and you can get it there. And actually, they're on Stitcher and everything else too. They have a little bit wider reach than even we do. But it's really funny. You know, they do about an hour and a half, hour and 40 minutes. And Kenny Wallace was really good, too.
Oh,
a lot of insight, too. So here's the thing is, if you really like to hear the things that go on behind the scenes that these guys can talk about after the fact that maybe they couldn't talk about in the fact, there's some of that. And then there's just, I mean, Kenny Wallace and Landon Castle are both really funny people in the moment. So I would encourage. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that. That's just a fun experience because Sean and Ryan, they're just so disarming, funny, great guys. And you sit there with your little headphones and microphone on, and it doesn't feel like an interview. It literally feels just like shooting the breeze with friends for 2 hours, and it is an absolute blast. So,
yeah, I think that's what all the podcasts aspire to now that they've figured out that that's what it can be is just two people or three people or four people talking.
Yeah.
And let's not worry about getting caught up in doing a four-print interview.
And, in fact, does this podcast have a rating? Is it rated R, PG-13?
I would say PG-13 plus.
Okay.
I think any time I've dropped more than one S-bomb, we've gone back in and bleeped it.
But okay. Well, you might. Well, I mean, I was just going to go back to Kenny Wallace's particular episode because it was the reason I love Kenny Wallace. I think he's the perfect amount of crazy. He really is. I've witnessed Kenny Wallace, and we were actually at Eldora this summer during the what is it now? It's not the Mud Summer Classic anymore. Oh, the Aspen Dirt Derby. I apologize, but I was literally standing in turns one and two when Kenny came rushing up when I forget the kid's name who lost the engine, but Kenny on the air in full broadcast regalia comes running up and yelling at the safety crew like, "He's got no clutch. He ain't got no clutch. Push him back. Push him back." And you know, we're all just like, "You are a god among mere mortals." but during that during his podcast, I was like, I've never heard the phrases moral turpitude and shitting in tall cotton used in the
same sentence. Absolutely. Absolutely. I laughed at that because, I mean, it's like an Alabama song, high cotton, old times there will not be forgotten. High cotton is something we say in the Southeast, meaning that we're living high on the hog, which is a whole other colloquialism.
There's another one.
So sorry about that bleep.
No, you're good. That's not going to get bleeped.
Yeah.
Good.
You know, somewhere around 3 months ago, I started getting lazy with it and saying, I'm just not going to bleep it anymore.
Well, we have to give me the parenthetical caveat of, let's not turn this into a cuss fest because I can do that really fast. So if I come into the show going, I need to be AM radio safe, I can use innuendo. I can occasionally drop an S-bomb, but for the most part, I stay pretty clean. And we need to keep it that way because I can rattle off some of those four-syllable ones that we really would have to be careful with.
That's a problem. Yeah. I think that's why sometimes we just run out of words every great once in a while. Now we've gotten a lot better at filling gaps and filling time.
Oh, I've used cheeseburger when I wanted to use the
MS1. I use Mother Hubbard a lot. That's a good one.
Double Whopper when I wanted to say something a lot worse.
Yeah. See, that works really well.
I always think, what would Trevor Bayne say?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, fiddlesticks. There's nothing better than Trevor Bayne getting all flustered on his in-car radio. That was bull crap. Like, whoa. Hold up, sucker.
Yeah, I know, right? Calm down.
Kids are listening. You're a dad. Come on.
You're a dad. Wearing your emotion on your sleeve.
What kind of precedent are you trying to set?
Yeah.
What example are you living up to?
That's cow crud, what you just said. Well, okay. Oh, boy. Hold him back.
Oh, man. Let's see. Kozlowski just announced engagement to Paige White. Is this like it's about time, or is this like
so? Is this proof that they didn't intentionally get pregnant, or is like how does this?
Oh, weird.
What is this NASCAR world we live in now, where they're basically just sperm donors for a while, and then they figure out if they want to be parents, and then maybe they get engaged? I don't know. Denny Hamlin's not engaged yet.
We don't comment on the personal matters. I'm extremely happy for them. And if you've like, you know, we've had a chance to, I think it was last year in Vegas, just hang out with them for a little bit. Those two kids are goofy in love with each other. So it's absolutely wonderful to see. And yes, I'm blatantly trying to score an invite.
Well, as you should, because it's going to be fun. You can bring your 3-liter Miller Lite glass, I'm sure.
Yes, I can. He's Keselowski, so chances are there will be at least 3 polkas played during the reception.
Nice, so, easy dance. No big deal. Just kind of clap the hand.
Yeah, you're
a little
good.
Snapping.
Snap deal.
Move the rear.
Well, I'll send him an MP3, NASCAR Chasm, of your promo right there, but I'll exclude Sherwin's intro to that.
Okay. Oh, yeah. That might not have been good. Might have been derogatory a little bit.
Right. Okay. So, last one. Predictions for 2017. Whether it's NASCAR related or not. What you got, NASCAR Chasm?
Predictions for 2017. I'm putting it out right now. I think 2017 is finally the year of Truex.
The year of Truex.
I really do. I really think it's going to be the one. I finally do. The first year of the... hold on, I'm doing math here. This is the third year of the chase, right?
Third year of this elimination, we want to be March Madness stuff.
There we go. Exactly. So it was the previous year we made it to the Final Four, but I think he only had like one win during the regular season.
Correct. But Pocono.
But consistent enough to make it all the way to the championship race. This year, I believe he had, was it 4 wins during the season? But the unfortunate incident at Talladega that basically knocked him out of the entire thing. I think those two, like, we finally reached the happy medium of that, and I think he goes all the way, and I think he finally wins. I think karma has cursed him on track so badly that it's finally going to turn around. So if the Cubs can win the World Series, Truex can be champion also.
Ooh, wow, that is an interesting correlation.
Yes, that's what I think. I absolutely think so. And trying to think what else. I think we're to finally see Austin Dillon win a race. I really do. And I cannot wait to see Greg Biffle in the 69 car. I really can't.
So whatever. We've had a lot of people say they think they want to see Biffle in the 69 truck.
That too. You know, I mean, I think he's already said in previous interviews, he just wants to be on a winning team. I don't know if that was kind of a, you know, little knock at Roush or whatever, but he'd be content with a truck ride or an Xfinity ride so long as it was a good one, you know, one that where it wasn't, you know, riding around in 20th place or less all day.
Okay. So, yeah. So we need, we need KBM or BKR or GMS to put Greg Biffle in a number 69
just
Camping World Truck
run
Series
69
truck.
Across this whole division, man.
Yes.
Take that soundbite.
Exactly. Just 69 and all through the. Oh, boy. Oh, God. We went there. But,
there.
You know, he went to the Truck Series, and the Truck Series could regain that whole retirement series feel that it had a couple years ago. You know,
yeah,
you
the
know, like
Mike
Johnny
Bliss, that whole thing. Who was the other guy that was so good? Jack Sprague?
Yes, Sprague, Benson, all those guys, you know. And so Biffle goes in there and shows those young whippersnappers who's boss.
So we've got one question from fan this week, Mick Rose at GoDucks88_Mick, who I think we said before, you know exactly where he stands with that Twitter handle. SHR, HMS, Penske, and Gibbs are the Power Four. What teams would you have as 5 and 6?
Could you rattle? Well, you only got one question. Oh, boy, man. Sorry about that. No one cares.
I shouldn't say I shouldn't say we only had one question. I should say that's the one we kind of chose for this week. So,
good. Well, my self-esteem had bottomed out, and now it's back. Thank
God. We had two questions. No, but go ahead.
Okay. So the power teams were HMS, Gibbs, SHR, and what was
Penske?
Yeah.
Obviously, I'd have to put Furniture Row in there, even though they're basically Diet Joe Gibbs.
Sure.
And I don't know, you know, it's almost like instinctively you kind of got to put Roush in there because you never know where the resources spread too thin or whatever. And now that they're down to 2 cars, is there going to be, you know, a little bit of a boost in performance from them? I sincerely hope there is. And, you know, it's Ricky versus Trevor again. So I would have to add Roush, and I would have to add Furniture Row into that.
That's I mean, that's very telling from your perspective, because what that means is that RCR is on the outside of what this question that's being asked entails. So, and I don't think you're wrong in a lot of ways. I mean, I think there's a lot of good debate that could be made for Roush and RCR for one of those positions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and to be fair, I'm wrong all the time. So what that means is by picking Furniture Row and Roush, that means RCR and JTG Doherty are going to basically explode because I'm wrong all the time.
Well, there you go. Hey.
Yeah, I mean, it's the... Me picking is basically the kiss of death. It's that kind of thing.
Well,
so
that's the beauty of spitting opinion on an internet radio show.
Exactly.
All right. We always end this thing. Well, almost end this thing. We have Strange with Stang. We always get a strange question from Ashley J. Stang from the
Chicago area.
Yeah, Chicago area. Uh-huh. And she owns a team out there. That does remind me of the Ray Sherwin series.
K&N East.
K&N East, yep. So she's got a K&N East team out there, Chicago area. You ought to meet her at some point if you hadn't already. But Sherwin, why don't you rattle this one off? I'm trying to still wrap my head around it.
I think NASCAR Chasm is fairly familiar with her on the Tweeter Box.
Aha, got it.
But, you still calling it the Tweeter Box?
Well, no. I need another name for
it. It's a box you throw tweets at.
Yes, I believe I have interacted with Ashley. Yes, I do.
Excellent.
She's lively personality. We've enjoyed interacting with it.
And she's going to be on the show at some point soon.
So no, I've not had the pleasure of meeting in person, but nor has she had the displeasure of meeting me in person. So it works out good.
Well, that's likewise for all three of us. So we'll see how that works out in the future. But
you know how disappointing I am in person. You know it now. So just spread the word.
Well, at least we got the in-person part before we got the over-the-mic internet stuff. So, all right.
Sherwin.
Without further ado, Ashley has asked us a strange biological question that apparently exists in real
good
life.
Good Lord.
I Googled it, and I was freaked out.
So this actually happens?
Yeah, this is real.
Oh, Jesus.
So if you were born with two belly buttons, what do you think the most likely cause would be? And this is multiple choice or ad lib. So choice A is you ate your twin in utero, which is real, loosely using the verb to eat. B, you have two dads. Or C, aliens just F. U-C-K-I-N-G aliens.
So wait, this actually happens?
Yeah. Apparently. What?
So if I were to search Google, I can find this, like, for real.
It's
not like the girl with the third boob in that movie whatever. We're
right
talking
now,
about, like,
Google two belly buttons and image search.
Oh, my God.
You will hate me for it.
Two belly.
Well, it's not that gross.
Buttons.
But anyway, so we'll repeat. You heard the question, so what's the word?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
I mean, it's not.
This is very distracting.
I'm not doing it.
It's not gross. It's just like.
So you'd want to deliberate on you ate your twin in utero, or you have two dads, or aliens, or I think it's open to can you create your own DE or F response?
I'm wondering if it can happen as a result to all the lead paint that is clearly in Ashley's house for asking this question.
Yes, you can turn it on the question asker.
Wow, I don't really, maybe you're just cheating your belly up, maybe that's what Smokey Eunuch does. Let's throw an extra belly button on there, see if it improves performance. Let's do that.
Well, you would think that would cut out some weight. I don't know how dense that little section would be.
Little area. Yeah, if mine went in at that point, there'd probably be about 6 or 8 pounds. This might help me out there for sure. Well,
is she okay? Did she, like, spend all day Googling these things?
I don't know. I'll tell you this much, as I'm sitting here looking at this, do not scroll past about page 3 when you Google image search two belly buttons. That's all I got to say.
Okay, because I've reached the point in the age where someone says, hey, Google this, I know better than to Google it.
And I'm at that age where I should know better.
But no, you should. But unfortunately, still, someone's like, "Hey, buddy, Google two girls, one cup." Okay. Oh,
well. So the guy sitting across from me is the one that told me to do that.
You know,
I don't necessarily regret it, but I mean, what did I see there?
It's for the entertainment. It's for the entertainment of the person who tells you, not for the person. Because now you are granted now to go tell someone else. You know, like that's how it works.
Well, that was like some of the first crap that we got shocked with when we were freshmen and sophomores at Tech, when the internet was really starting to put on some muscle.
Yeah, right.
And 99, 2000,
going into
in
depths. Oh, gross. All right. Last question for you, NASCAR Chasm. The same thing that we asked this one to everybody. One thing that you would change about NASCAR, and whether that's to make it more fun, to put more butts in the seats or eyeballs on the TV, or just something that you would like to see, and who cares about everybody else? But the one thing that you would change about NASCAR.
The one thing I would change?
Yep.
Let's see. Before every race, I would make it a rule, basically, that Jamie McMurray has to put on a wedding dress and chase a greased pig through the infield grass.
That's
perfect.
That's what I would
do. That's 100%
perfect. That's absolutely what I would do.
Guaranteed not to have a repeat with another guest on that answer.
Yeah, and
all the other obvious answers have been, given. And hold on, my wife's chiming in again. Ooh, this is a good one.
Okay,
I'd like to propose silly bat races before the drivers climb into the cars.
I like it. Silly bat races.
All-star race sounds like that's probably a better place for that.
If you've never done this, so me and Sherwin did silly bat bowling a few times. And I've seen Sherwin spill. That was in like top three Sherwin spills of all time. Was him bowling after doing the dizzy bat. And boy, you will not laugh harder than watching your friends eat crud.
I think I went across three lanes.
I think you went. It was another one of those Sherwin horizontal at 3 feet off the ground things. You know,
I'm really good at getting horizontal
quickly.
Like the entire body is off the ground. Yes. I don't know why that happens.
Actually, you know what? I forgot to mention this. Since this is a really funny situation because I'm in the office by the computer and my wife is working in the living room area. She's a medical practitioner, so I'm going to shout a question to her real quick.
Okay.
Hey, hon, why do people have two belly buttons sometimes? I'm just waiting for the text, all right, because we'll get a good answer and a, you know, actual educated answer back because she's a medical practitioner and she's seen some weird stuff.
I like it.
Is she scared to come on mic and deliver the answer?
I can summon her. Hold on one second here.
Oh, yeah, we're like Bill Burr and Nia right now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, totally. Hold on. My wife's coming here. Oh, God, as are the dogs. You guys stay here.
Well,
so,
hey,
my wife's a physician assistant. It's like a nurse practitioner.
Am I talking to the camera or am I talking to
the computer? You're just talking to the computer.
Okay. Hi.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
So we were given a question regarding people born with two belly buttons. Does this ever happen?
I suppose. It's medically possible.
All right. So what would be the circumstances behind it?
To be born with two belly buttons, not to develop two belly buttons as an adult, to actually be born.
Yeah,
I believe that was the question.
You would have to have had two umbilical cords.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, that's pretty awesome.
So you would have to have been a really, really hungry, greedy little embryo.
Oh, Sherwin nailed it. Well done.
Wow, that's going to be our band name. We'll perform a band. Hey, not performing tonight at Whiskey River, the greedy little embryos coming on at 10 o'clock. That'll be us.
Yeah, yeah. You got to put on, we'll do it shirtless, and you got to like add a fake belly button somewhere.
We'll do that. Absolutely. We'll just all draw.
Yeah, umbilical cord squared. That's a good nerdy medical band name.
I like it. Well, let's start closing this thing out before we start offending everybody, because we've got about we've got about 90% of the audience. Maybe 10% of them will hang on. NASCAR Chasm, got to thank you so much for being on here. This has been a boatload of fun, a lot of laughs. As if you need the floor for it, but let's give you the floor. Anything you want to promote, where people can find you, or just anything, you know, great political statement.
Oh boy, I was not prepared for this. If you want to catch any more of this drivel, there, go to NASCAR.com to the news section. There's an Inside Groove tab, and that's where we're putting all the silly crap. That's where it all goes. So if you're at all interested in that, that's where I would head.
Y'all check out the silly crap.
And I don't know. Again, this goes back to what I put on my business card. I don't know.
Troll. Thank you, NASCAR Troll, for helping us out. Having a boatload of fun. It's been like over an hour. I can't believe it. Sherlock, yep, time to close this thing out before we offend everybody.
Are we closing out with the monster cannonball? Might as well. Slash, oh, I'm not cannonball
this stupid thing. I'm going to stuff a bunch of jelly beans in my mouth. Pretend like I'm doing something.
Uh-oh.
Y'all know where to find us. All those jelly beans are getting stale.
Oh, man.
Those are really tough now.
Oh, goodness. That's rocks.
Yep. I'm Tailgate Mayor. At Tailgate Mayor.
I'm Pregame ENG. Our Pregame Engineer at Pregame ENG.
You can find us at PTM Podcast. You can find us everywhere on the internet. Just search PTM Podcast.
No kidding. If you search PTM Racing Podcast, you will find three pages of us before you find anything else.
Ain't no doubt.
That's kind of cool.
Ain't no doubt. We want to thank NASCAR Chasm again. Can't wait to see him at the next track. And y'all have a good time. We're going to talk to you next week at some point. We'll figure it out.
Fart gag. Thumbs up.
Thank you, guys.